Bit late this morning, my apologies. You're going to be under the aegis of the Robe for the next 2 hours, maybe the next 3 hours if you're unlucky. In the studio, we have, of course, the vicious just man, Jim Costner. We have man from the streets, John Henry, and we have Dragon Sard Dan Hopkins, John Henry Washington. You're going to be hearing all this stuff as we roll into Bathrobe Spears Broadside, civil rights in Santa Cruz and around the nation. Santa Cruz 96.3, or at least we are, and we hope you got your radio on that dial. Our phone number here, for those who want to call in and be a part of this show, and you are invited to do just that, is 427-3772. You're listening to Bathrobe Spears Broadsides on Free Radio Santa Cruz. We have guests galore, and I'm grabbing and snagging Just Man Jim Costner here, our previous talk show host, before he leaves the studio. How you doing there, Jim?
Doing really well. Appreciate it.
You know, I met Jim, I guess it was 2 years ago, around the time of the demonstrations for the free sitting situation, when people were challenging the anti-homeless downtown ordinances. And those ordinances, of course, are currently in place. We have not yet succeeded in displacing them. But, Jim, what's happened in the last 2 years with you in terms of what you've been doing around local civil rights issues for the poor in Santa Cruz?
Not even doing anything.
Definitely I see that the homeless struggle here in Santa Cruz, I could be doing a lot more, and there definitely needs to be a lot more done. And it's true that Robert and I met in a coalition that was opposing the downtown ordinances that were passed by the city council at that time. And there was a coalition of actually quite a few. This is called the Coalition to Decriminalize Poverty. Is that right?
That was it. Coalition to Decriminalize Poverty, yeah.
Robert was a very instrumental leader in that coalition, a very strong voice. There was quite a few of us who were really raising our voices and organized a march. We're due to different forms of education. There's people who were organizing radio shows. And all that was really important in terms of going up against and things like the sleeping ban and the downtown ordinances. But definitely right here in Santa Cruz, the struggle is still and kind of a primitive level, and I don't mean that in a disrespectful, demoralizing way, but in terms of really defeating a sleeping ban, we would have to sweep up a lot more people to get involved in the struggle and really be more militant about it, demanding that the sleeping ban be abolished.
You know, I have to agree with you there, Jim, and I think that we're always vacillating, at least I am, in terms of organizing the middle class folks and who have homes and are willing to take some risks, even though they have homes, because they feel it's an important issue that poor people be allowed to sleep at night without being harassed in some legal place. And then there are those who are on the streets who seem to be more vulnerable to arrests, who have warrants and so forth, but ironically are sometimes more willing to undergo repeated arrests for sleeping ban tickets. That's what we had in 1990 with the post office homeless table, and we had a table there for 8.5 months. Every night people were at that table. A cop seized the table, I think, about 15 times, and we brought it back again and again and again. And again, the main force of that was homeless people who stayed there 24 hours around the clock. It also happened in Santa Barbara, interestingly enough, that same summer, the summer of 1990. There was a continuous sleep out at City Hall. And, of course, the result of all that was not immediately apparent, not terribly successful. There was an intervention by a liberal group headed by Paul Bundell and Sherry Carnival called the Coalition for a Safe Place to Sleep, who kind of talked the demonstrators off the streets, claimed they were going to make deals with the city council, and indeed tried to do so, but they only got 2 out of the 7 votes they needed for an open-air shelter sanctuary. It was actually called a sanctuary for sleepers, a campground, which later became a reality, the Coral Street open-air shelter, for a couple of years until it was liquidated by Paul Marceau and Daryl Darling of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless just last December. And we'll be having more about that as the show continues, because there was a zoning hearing last night on that issue, and there was also a Citizens Committee for the Homeless board meeting where I was twice, police were called twice to arrest me. But here's an incoming phone call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi, this is David.
Hi, David.
I just finished reading the ordinance on curfew, and it sounds like something written in the Dickinsonian era.
Oh, good. I'm glad you called in to talk about that. Are you going to be around in the next hour? Because we haven't yet. I'm going to read that ordinance aloud.
Okay, yeah. I've got notes I've taken on it. It's just, and so forth, I'd like to go over with you.
Now, this is David Mitten, and you, in fact,
David Mitten Silva.
Mr. David Mitten Silva.
Yeah.
And Jim says hello to you.
Yeah, hi, Jim. I'm down with a cold. I thought I'd be able to be there, but I'm down.
So as long as you're there by phone, that's
okay. I'm here by phone, yeah.
Why don't you call me, sometime after 11, and I've introduced the curfew and read about it, and we can then discuss it more intelligently.
That's a deal.
I appreciate
that's a deal.
That,
I can take a shower and everything.
Take a shower, baby.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah, the curfew is another issue that's going to be on the agenda. That is actually the CCH's community house, the Trailers Not Trolls project for 45 people that will displace what was the Coral Street Open Air Shelter campground. Looks like it's going to go right through. I haven't got the final word yet from the zoning board, but it looked like they weren't interested in anything I had to say, and I frankly was the only opponent at that zoning hearing. People like Sherry Carnival, who was an activist for Save Our Shelters, I believe was, although she didn't speak in favor of it at the mic, I believe she's indicated, I've heard that she's now in favor of Citizens Committee's Transitional House project because she wants a campground elsewhere. Now, of course, I too would like a campground elsewhere in the city, but right now the only legal place for a campground is at that place.
Which is outrageous.
Yeah, it's outrageous, but the fact that they're ignoring even that established campground and were willing to destroy it and turn it into a paved over $1 million trailer project for SSI type people, by the which I mean people who have money. Unlike, you know, not that SSI people aren't worthy and are in many cases homeless, but they have funding and resources that most homeless people don't have. And go ahead, Jim.
It's outrageous to me that in Santa Cruz there's over 40,000 people, over 800 people who are homeless, and you have a city council of 7 people representing the merchants in this community. Not all merchants, but the merchants who are in the downtown business association, particular merchants in the mall, and particular big business interest. These minority of people can control and can make the laws and pass the laws and enforce the laws that tell the homeless people where they can sleep and where they can't. They can tell them where they can sit down and where they can't, where they can ask for a quarter, where they can't, where they can speak out and where they can't. Now, this is outrageous that this is going on. And the way that we can go up against this is by tabling with information and literature daily, by organizing marches and speak-outs and rallies, by getting the students involved, by getting the homeless people themselves more involved, by getting more of us conscious people involved in a struggle that actually educates the community about these laws and about why they're in place, and educates the community about the necessity to have these laws abolished forever.
And if you want to get involved, I might add, you of course can call this radio show at 427-3772 and contribute whatever information you may have in terms of your own experience and that of other people, or you can join in helping to organize against these really inhuman, uncompassionate, and discriminatory laws by giving me a call at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. That's the headquarters for HUFF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. The song, by the way, that you heard at the beginning of the show was called Maxims on the Horizon, and it was from Daryl Chaney's 1990 tape Timber, recorded with Judy Berry and George Shook. Daryl Chaney's got some hefty tunes, and they aren't really directly related to poverty on the streets here, but I think we'd be much impoverished without those big trees up north, and I'm concerned about them too. And I'm glad to see that activists are willing to take extreme measures to resist the depredations of the large corporations in that area. And I think we're going to have to do something similar here, because I was noticing yesterday, yesterday was meeting city for me. I went to a meeting after a meeting. I went to the meeting of the Downtown Commission. It looks like Jim is saying goodbye. Jim, say goodbye to the mic, for heaven's sake. Show a little respect.
Goodbye, everybody. Gotta go.
Thanks for being with us, Jim. Next time I'll try to be more focused on you. I tend to get a little wandering here. Yeah, he's got to go. And moving into his place, of course, is John Henry, that I'll be interviewing in the...
John Henry Washington, sir.
I beg your pardon. JHW, as some have probably never called you. But before we interview, let me tell our audience a little about what happened at the Downtown Commission. Don't do that.
Okay.
The Downtown Commission...
I was getting ready to smoke a hooter. I apologize. Uh-huh.
Downtown Commission is a group that essentially merchants, pretty much, who are supposed to rule on kind of ordinary traffic measures. They meet once a month in city council chambers. They met yesterday at 1 o'clock. And what they were talking about were some issues that you know, you wouldn't think would be terribly interesting to the general public. John Henry, don't blow into the mic. Give me a break. Thank you. John here is going to be a real challenge for me in the minutes ahead.
A real challenge.
What was discussed, there were at least three issues discussed that I think you should know about. One of them I spoke to the commission on. The first is the plan to fence off Cathcart and Pacific parking lot. That's the former Ford's parking lot where deadheads and countercultural people, and here a lot of people gather, and ordinary citizens park, the free parking lot. They plan to fence that sucker off, and not only fence it off, but fence off half the sidewalk in front of what's called the slot, or the hippie area, or Cathcart and Pacific's, I would call it, free speech area. That has been approved by the Downtown Commission, and they admitted that there was even one protest from a merchant, Randall Keane, at a Catalyst, who said, hey, I don't want this area closed off. I want that fence torn down. We're having a lot more trouble parking. There's more law enforcement problems because of fences are concealing things. But no, this group of merchants is so narrowly concerned, and they spoke about it quite candidly, with bringing in businesses, with making that a saleable lot. And even though they don't have to pay a damn thing for the parking, they would prefer to fence it off completely and make it a non-parking lot so that they can hopefully drive away the undesirable elements. Now, this number still has to go to City Council, I assume. Now, you may remember this is the same group, the Downtown Commission, that decided to put a change-making machine in at the corner of Cathcart and Pacific. Now, you might say, what's wrong with a change-making machine? It's nice to have change to put in the parking meters for those of us who have cars or are Mr. Twister advocates. Sure. But the reality of the new downtown ordinances is if you sit within 50 feet of a spare changing machine, you are in violation of the Santa Cruz sitting ban. So what that does is it will make the entire area around the Food Not Bombs and Feed the People meal a criminal no-sitting zone if a change machine went in there. Well, Mike Rotkin, who I do not normally praise on this show, pointed out this was this was instant demonstration. If you put in such a machine, we would have massive demonstrations there. And I think, at least I hope, he's right. But frankly, we haven't had massive demonstrations since a year and a half ago, and I'm becoming a little despairing that there ever will be. Do you have any comments on any of this stuff?
On what, the mass demonstrations?
No, I'm talking about the plan, for example, to fence off hippie corner so that there's no place for people to sit or much less place, and to fence off that parking lot. That is the plan of the Downtown Commission.
I think that the police officers should get big machine guns and just start driving by in open fire.
Sort of a sitting gallery thing. Well, I think the merchants are taking a more subtle approach.
Talking about the merchants. Open fire on the merchants.
Oh, open fire on the merchants.
Yeah.
Well, the merchants said, I doubt that would ever happen, frankly, but what they are doing is they're opening fire on us.
Okay, let's get real, people. You know?
Yeah, they're opening fire on us with this.
It's happening not just on the level of what, Robert here is talking about. Why I wanted to get on the radio is because...
Before you do...
I'm not on the radio yet.
You are on the radio. But before we come to the topic that indeed brought you to the station, we interviewed you a couple of days ago, John.
10, 20 topics ago?
The topic that we were discussing and we'll be talking about with you is the Java House, because you wanted to discuss that.
I didn't get my mocha Java. I'm really mad.
You didn't get your mocha Java. This is another man who was evicted from the Java House.
But before we go into that, I want to conclude this Downtown Commission thing
and tell you that is on the burner. The Downtown Commission has voted to fence off that parking lot, and I think that goes to City Council, but it's possible that they may start to do it without that. I'm assuming actually it goes to City Council. That's my understanding. The second thing that was going to be discussed was another change-making machine to be put in at the corner one block down from Cathcart and Pacific, right beyond the theater, right beyond the host's HQ at that next corner on what is now a vacant lot area, which would again criminalize everybody sitting next to that fence, which is now fencing in a vacant lot on the other side of the street from Cathcart and Pacific. I guess it's one big block down. And I don't know how the vote went on that. I was going to stay and talk to it, but when I saw how incredibly bigoted this board was, how incredibly focused on the myth that people sitting downtown were the major cause for business problems, I felt I had other things to do, and I moved on. I did speak briefly on the issue. There are tapes available for those who want to review them of Downtown Commission hearings, and that might be an interesting thing for Phil Free or Bob Duran, who are our news reporters for the station, or anyone else, John and Leslie, perhaps, or John Stewart, other people who are concerned with poverty issues, to look into these matters. Or for you, all you got to do is go down to the city clerk's office, and you can get information on that. Give them a call and find out when you can listen to these tapes. Similarly, the Zoning Commission, which met last night, and that was another one of those meetings I went to, voted on the question of would they allow Community House a permit. And I spoke against it. I left before the final vote, and I believe, however, that they probably voted for it. We have an incoming phone call, as John Henry Washington has pointed out.
John Henry Washington, Williams,
to
you,
sir. You're on Radio Santa Cruz.
Just a comment about the fencing off of the lot.
Yeah.
I think we should get, if they try that, I think we should get chainsaws and bolt cutters ready.
I actually brought up the point that there was some vandalism, if you can call it that, that was done to previous fences at that area, and that it was really an open target to put up a huge fence at that area, particularly if you're going to fence off the entire lot. But I think they feel they are going to change the environment, and so those people who are not as active as some will simply be driven away, and indeed, they may be right. So, but go ahead. Any other?
That's the only comment I had.
All right, thank you. I can't hear this guy.
Well, we do have.
You still on the air?
We do have. Yes, we are on the air. We are on the air, John Henry.
Okay. It's John Henry Washington Miller.
John, for short.
No, call me.
I'll call you late for supper if you don't watch out. I'll call you out.
Call me Robert.
So let's turn from the downtown commission. Let's turn from the downtown.
Yeah, let's get to business.
The downtown commission, which I was kind of describing for you, and it's a little known board. Most people don't know about it. It's worth following. It meets once a month. You can get their agendas in the city clerk's office. Downtown Commission is the name of it, and it's headed by the merchants John Frank Keller, who's a game of Latin.
John Keller.
There is a lot of them. If you don't watch, I'm going to dump you in the John here. John,
what John?
I don't know. But
you know, John.
Hey, I want to finish this. So Frank, who's the head of Game-A-Lot, Frank is for the main person on this commission, and he's a guy who's a friendly guy, but he's also been one of the main business people that I urged a boycott against back in 1994. Because he was one of the people who supported the downtown ordinances. Downtown ordinances, you know, make it illegal to sit down, spare change, set up a table after dark, and so forth. So, but indeed, you've been real patient with me, perhaps a little not entirely, totally patient, John Henry.
Yeah.
Tell me, let's get back to what you were talking about a couple of days ago when I interviewed you on the air,
mm-hmm.
talking about the Java House.
Okay. Well, first of all, I will talk about the Java House, even though I really don't, really, I mean, since you asked me, I'd rather focus. I want to just say something first, since this is a free radio, Santa Cruz.
Sure.
96.3, don't tell your parents. I want to say something. First of all, I got two things to say to a lot of people on the streets. First of all, the first thing is that we don't get healthy. You know, as people, we don't get healthy by focusing on sickness, by studying sickness. We get healthy by focusing on health and happiness. And the second thing I wanted to say is that this is a teaching that I want to share with some of the medicine people in Santa Cruz so that they can start rallying together in a sort of a more of aware, I'm asking for unity, you know what I mean? So I'm saying like the hurt of one is the hurt of all, you know, and the honor of one is the honor of all. But to get to the question, Mr. Norse, which was?
The Java House, big guy. You originally came up to me with a concern about the Java House.
My concerns have grown. I just got back from Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
I mean from Puerto Rico. Excuse me, I thought it was Hawaii, but it was really Puerto Rico. And I just wanted to say about the Java House. You know, in 1989, this is what I told Robert. 1989, there was a big earthquake. It hit Santa Cruz. I don't know if anyone's listening. If you are, please call and talk and stuff.
Back to the earthquake.
Okay. 89 is an earthquake, and during that time, there was sort of a crisis. There's a huge crisis on our planet right now, obviously, if people would look around and see that trees are getting molested.
Back to the crisis.
Java House.
The Java House.
All right, crisis, Java House. Java House needs to be shut down, first of all, or they need to either shut down or change their ways, the business. Okay, this is the problem we have here as people in this town. 89 earthquake, all the elders came over and played drums in the Java House. It started as a drum, a place where they counseling and people to help lift the spirits of the people during that time of crisis. And this little young man named Kevin Arnold, I don't know his last name, but anybody knows Kevin, you know, boo-hoo, little crybaby. Oh, never mind. But I'm talking.
You're good.
All right, so what happened is he had a little dream of having a little coffee house, you know, and it started out good. His papa gave him some money, and he got a coffee house going. I went there every day. I pumped so much business into that, even positive IV energy into the Java House. And then we got to a point where, like recently, I don't even know, before I went to Puerto Rico, the hold on a second. Hey, what?
Doing good.
Keep going.
Yeah.
People can hear me?
Too loud. Keep it about right here. Right here.
Okay. Right, anyway, so they 86'd me, man. They 86'd me. And I just got back. It was like 3 months. And I go over there, and they don't tell me I'm 86. And I'm like, shit, I'm just sitting here, 86.
Why did they 86 you?
Oh, they 86'd me. This is a really serious crime here, folks. Because a while back ago, I went in there early in the morning, and I thought I'd stop in the Java House, and the guy had a bunch of muffins over there. And I said, I want a muffin. And I grabbed the muffin, and the guy threatened to call the cops at me, and I said, well, man, I'm going to eat this muffin, whether you like it or not. And I went away, and I ate it, and I said, shit. And the guy cursed the muffin, so I brought the muffin back. And that was 2 or 3 months ago. And then, anyway, the Java House, you know what I mean? Okay, everybody, here's the deal. You know, the Java House has a chance right now to either get their act together. We're all giving them a chance as people. See, we're united. You understand? All the folks, street people, all right? So, you know, the thing is, the people have the power. That's what everyone's forgetting, is we have the
power. Actually, let me interrupt you for a minute, John Henry. I think, actually, this is one
case. Let me interrupt you.
This is one case where I think I might agree with the Java House and its eviction, because, after all, taking muffins and eating them in broad daylight.
I don't even want to talk about the Java House, man. That's like distracting me from what I'm here to talk about.
Well, good. Well, let me give you a couple minutes to talk about what you want to talk about, but before we do, I'm going to comment on what you've said.
Fine. That's
because the Java House is an issue that a lot of us are concerned about, because it's not only been evicting people who are taking muffins without paying for them and eating them, but it's also been evicting people who are completely innocent of any kind of wrongdoing. People who have been...
I brought that muffin back, man.
Yeah.
Oh,
man. Right. Well, I mean, you know, I mean, frankly, I regard it as, and perhaps as in a sense as amusing as you do, but in another sense, this is not a funny issue for a lot of us who are evicted and can't come back into that place.
Coffee,
now, you seem to take a somewhat lighter-hearted attitude towards
it. Because I can appreciate that, perhaps. That are more important to me right now.
Well, what's important to me, and one of the reasons I invited you on the air, is because that's the issue I wanted you to talk about. And if you want to spend a little time talking about something else, that's okay.
All right.
But we have an incoming call. Let's see what our caller has to say.
I hope it's Kevin.
Hi, this is kicked out of Java House person.
Oh, you are a kicked out of Java House person.
I can't hear. Can you speak up?
No. You can't hear him. You got to hear him on the radio. Go ahead.
Let's see, Java House kicks people out because Kevin claims that it's his house and only people he likes comes there. So if you're a well-spoken community activist and you speak loudly at times, even if it's not in Java House, as long as you're a personality that's a threat to his personality in an ego sort of way, you get 86.
Now, would you like to say who you are?
Yeah, my name is Dean. I'm with Earth First Santa Cruz. We had our
meeting
for years and years. And basically, we were disallowed having our meetings there because we were actually told we couldn't have our meetings there, but because eventually so many of us got kicked out for arbitrary reasons that we were unable to gather there.
Who else was kicked out from Earth First?
At least 3 or 4 other people.
Can you name them?
I could, but I don't know if that would be appropriate for me to be speaking on behalf of my friends.
Well, maybe what you might do, Dean, is contact those people who were kicked out and ask them if we can, you know, if they can give us some accounts of what happened, whether they have since contacted. Thank you, John Henry. Whether there has been any kind of change in the policy of the Java House toward them as individuals, or what their attitude is towards having been kicked out, and how they feel about that situation generally.
I think when people first get kicked out of Java House, they're kind of bummed because it's a nice place. Uh-huh. And the real thing is when you complain about being kicked out and you tell your friends not to go there, they look at you like you're nuts, because it's kind of like, wow, you mean the coolest place in town I can't go to because they're mean? And then mm-hmm. they're just willing to look past how they treat people because they like the atmosphere in there. And that's the real crime, is that people who do complain about Java House get persecuted for complaining about very legitimate issues of arbitrarily kicking people out because it suits your fancy rather than having legitimate reasons.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, Dean. I raised the issue about Wonton Dave Jacobs, who was kicked out 4 years ago, actually not too long after the Java House opened. And the issue, of course, was he smoked a joint half a block away, and somehow that annoyed a planning commissioner. And some claim it was the same planning commissioner the head of the planning department, who got himself taken away for grass. But I don't know if that's the case. But I do know that the Java House refused to allow Dave to come back in the years that followed. And I regarded that as just a gross injustice. And actually, Dave was somewhat more philosophical about it. He didn't seem to care that much. But
I was kicked out 3 years ago, and now I just go in on my birthday just so I can kind of get kicked out on my birthday and make Kevin feel good on my birthday. You know,
when is your birthday?
June 28th.
I see.
it's not really around. We got to find other people who are having birthdays.
Well, I'm really interested in issues of discrimination downtown. Are there any other places downtown where you've seen these kinds of problems arising?
No, I've been going to cafes since 1987 in this town. Been to every cafe, spent a lot of time at all of them doing my work.
You ever been kicked out of a cafe?
Never. Java House is the only place I've ever been kicked out.
Why were you kicked out?
I allegedly put graffiti on the bathroom wall.
Oh, that's why I was kicked out.
Oh, well, yeah. Anybody who has an opinion, obviously, is criminally vandalizes places rather than putting it on their own dead trees that they've actually paid for and spread it out that way. Anyways, I got a show at, noon or something for about an hour before Bob LaMonica comes in.
Oh, really? You're going to be coming in at noon, eh? Cutting me off the air, you dog.
Well, we have a new rule that if you aren't a slacktivist, if you're actually a legitimate activist and you have a lot to say and you have a lot of time,
mm-hmm.
You're going to be controlled in the amount of airtime you're allotted.
I see. So control is raising its ugly head here at Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Oh, as is always.
Indeed. Well, I appreciate your calling in, Dean. Is there more you want to say on this issue?
Tune in to at noon. You want to find out how a revolution starts. It has to do with taking back the land. The land in North America is covered with trees, and so as soon as we learn how to take back our forests, we'll have a real revolution.
Well, I appreciate that, Dean, and I expect folks will be staying tuned all the way through to noon and then into Dean's hour as well.
Yep, and then Bob LaMonica after that with probably something that Bob LaMonica would like to say.
Oh, yeah, battling Bob on his battle with the DA and general injustice in Santa Cruz County.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you, Dean.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Okay, and you are, in fact, listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, and the number is 427-3772. That's what you can call in. And now a brief statement from our man with the earphones, John Henry Washington. Go ahead, John.
Robert, it's all right if I play a little harmonica.
You can play it a bit away from the mic, though.
Okay.
Distort.
I want to play a little song here, and then I have some very important messages to give you.
You have 5 minutes to do it in, Big Guy.
5 minutes.
You got it.
It's till 10:45.
All right.
I'm watching the clock.
All right. We got you on the clock, Big Guy.
States of America, people of any nations native to this land, African people, Mexican people, all people who want to stand united, please listen to this message. The earth is in a serious crisis right now. Things that are happening here, people aren't even aware of on a certain level. Things are happening on our planet that aren't even things happening. I don't even want to talk about such things on a deeper level here on the radio, but what I'm saying is that we have about 10 years of serious time to either fix the environment. There used to be 5 million elephants in Africa. Now there's 200,000. Okay, that's pretty drastic. These elephants are greater than humans. I'll tell you that. They're ancient, and they're more respectful, and they're better than us. Well, they're good shooters, too.
They're good
trips.
Travelers because they take
their
trunks with them. I'm sorry.
Oh, I got a joke. Okay, what do you call the midget convict? Wait, yeah, midget convict clairvoyant who escaped from prison. What do you call him, Robert?
Fast on his feet?
Nope. A small medium at large. But anyway.
You heard it here first.
Back to the business, folks. We have to start protecting the rainforest, and I'll tell you why. Because a lot of other people are going to get killed, all right? And Hivaro Indians are starting to come out of the rainforest to protect the rainforest, and they ain't about loving. They're about killings. And there are serious mistakes that this government is making. The government is Babylon. The government is Babylon. It's the system that needs to be messed up. Everybody, everything is sacred. every single life, every single, this little console here, this radio console is sacred. It's all from the earth.
John, I got a question for you.
Oh, what's that?
Now, you've been around Santa Cruz for, well, on and off for what?
4 years, five years.
Have you seen many changes in Santa Cruz in terms of...
Yes, I have, actually. I have seen
changes. What kind of changes have you seen?
I've seen not enough unity in the people. I've seen changes with merchants becoming more capitalist. I've seen this place turn into a wannabe Las Vegas. I've seen a lot of stuff happen here. And we're starting to be... We've got some good people here. A lot of people from Africa starting to come over. Our reggae musicians are starting to educate people. And this is the time of education. This is a time of enlightenment to start teaching the government. Now, what it is the government is they're uneducated in a way that needs to be eradicated. And I personally do not want to see us moving into what we're moving into, which is another civil war. I don't want to see it, but I'm telling you right now, this is the time to start choosing sides, start making allies, and I personally am not going to say what I'm going to be doing, but I'm just saying that this is a time for unity and the people in the streets, and we're going to give us the people. You hear me? It's us, the people, going to give the government a chance. It ain't the other way around. Everybody's such a victim. Everybody want to be a victim. We're all victimized by this system. Everybody want to be a victim, and they want to play their little victim role. It's bull. I'm tired of it. I'm saying that we as a people have the power. The government is around. It's about us. It ain't about what the government's doing. Stop focusing on the sickness. Stop focusing on all the BS in this community. We need to get together in a good way, in a strong way, so that we can all be together as people under the sun, on the earth, celebrating and honoring this life that we live, that everybody I see, 99% of the people in Santa Cruz taking it for granted. 99% of the people do not understand what a gift it is to be able to look out and see, what it is to be able to smell and breathe. 99%. That's sad. A lot of people here that I considered friends from the older times are not my friends because they're into Babylon. They want to be stars. They want to be big time. You know what happens? Everybody going to die, and we're all going to meet our maker, our creator, and the judgment from Allah is going to be very, very intense. You know what I mean? We got Mumia Abdul-Jamal is in jail right now, and you all know that. Leonard Peltier is in jail. A lot of good people are in jail right now. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? This man from local native land. I got 1 minute, bro.
You got about 30 seconds.
35 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
I got 35 seconds. These people are in jail. Can you hear me, man? You all listening? These people are in prison. These people is native. Leonard Peltier. This is our land. This is our land. I'm pissed off, I'm pissed. You know what I mean? You guys got to get together and start fighting, because there are things worth fighting for in this world. And right now, it's saving our Mother Earth. So thank you very much. And I'm going to end with a little booze note here. Until the philosophy which holds one race superior and another inferior is finally and permanently discredited and abandoned, there'll be war.
All right.
War in the East.
Thank you for the harmonica rendition, and thank you for your analysis, John Henry.
I hear someone calling in.
Something of a rant. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you very much.
I've tolerated you being here, and
you're things need to be said.
Mania got equal
on a certain level,
right?
And that's where we need to connect. And this guy is taking
Mania has equal time here on Free Radio Santa Cruz, at least on my show. At least has a little time. So thank you very much.
You're welcome,
All right, good luck on the streets.
God bless
all right.
Be cool.
You're on Free Radio Santa Cruz with Robert and the Maniac.
Oh, yeah, kind of maniacal today. This is Becky Johnson.
Becky Johnson, cool. Becky, you're a member of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless who was at their board meeting yesterday, and you saw apparently one individual, nearly arrested twice. Actually, two individuals.
Yes, that's correct.
And what was that all about? Why would they tell us about that board meeting and what, first of all, what that happened with that arrest situation, and also what happened later in the board meeting that you think might be of interest to those concerned about open air shelter and the campground?
Well, Robert, you are the bad boy of CCH.
Uh-oh.
That's certainly clear. There's very little love on the CCH board for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can't win them all. You know how it is.
Apparently, the crux was that they were claiming that you had disrupted the meeting previously, mm-hmm. last month.
A false charge, in my opinion.
Certainly controversial, and there's two sides to that.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that was discussed at the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I think we did kind of agree upon a version of what had happened in the previous meeting.
Was that while I was present or after I'd been excluded from the meeting?
No, I think that was after you had been excluded. Paul Lee kind of gave his version of your disruptive activities from the previous meeting.
Which, interestingly enough, were videotaped by two video photographers and probably three or four tape recorders.
Really? So you don't have to take my word for it.
No, it's all on tape.
Go back and look at the tape.
And, of course, what happened?
Really happened.
And you were present, and I guess maybe I could describe what happened, of course, but I'm, of course, an interested party. You were, although you're a sympathizer, I would say you also have a certain objectivity. You're a news reporter. You were working for Charlie Reed's show before he gave you the boot, so to speak.
A former community perspectivite.
This is a radio show on Channel 71 here on
television.
Television show. I'm sorry, quite right. A television show on Channel 71, which I get you were written up, I guess, in this week's Metro in the Nez column.
Yes, read all about it.
Read all about Becky Johnson.
The developing soap opera here, right?
Yeah.
Now, Little Berg.
But you apparently are also a member of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless's board, at least since last summer, and
mm-hmm.
you have been, you know, I guess one of the few advocates of, would it be too much to say you have actually favored reconsidering the community house project as long as there is no open air shelter available in March?
I did hold that position for a while, but I've sort of seen the writing on the wall on that and have dropped my opposition to community house for the moment, although I'm still not entirely sure about the funding aspects of it.
Mm-hmm.
And until I've had the opportunity to really go over the funding with a fine-tooth comb and see that all the expenses, because it does seem like a very expensive project.
Community House, for those who don't know, and probably everybody does, but it's a 10-trailer, $1 million-plus project that is based on donated vehicles, or I guess structures, from Stanford University, which is due to be placed on the blacktopped and graded area, which was the open-air shelter out of Highway 1 and Highway 9, which was the only legal place for people to sleep in Santa Cruz, and in fact, until it was closed in the country at that time in December, and which, in being closed, will mean that all the people coming out of the armory when it closes on March 15th will have no legal place to sleep at night. And this, of course, is, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yes, well,
that was
discussed extensively at the meeting, that this March 15th deadline is looming before us when the armory will be closed. ISSP will shut down its services.
Yeah.
And as Sherry Connival said at the meeting, what on March 15th we're willing as a community to provide services and help to homeless people and deem it a necessary or reasonable use of our resources to provide shelter for homeless people. And then on March 16th, those same people that are seeking shelter or a place to sleep will be criminalized.
And what was the response of the Citizens Committee to the Homeless to this rather well-known statement, which I'm sure every board member knew before she said it?
Uh-huh. Well, we reiterated that this March 15th date is looming. We discussed the prospects of the city council being coming forth with some sort of remediation for this problem.
Oh, please.
That's looming on the horizon.
So somebody suggested the city council was realistically going to come forward with some kind of open-air shelter by March 15th. Did anybody stop you from breaking up into gales of laughter?
Actually, many, many people at CCH expressed their concern that the city council was showing a lack of leadership in that regard.
Mm-hmm. What about the Citizens Committee for the Homeless and its great lack of leadership? This is the main service provider for emergency shelter in Santa Cruz. These are the people who get funded with hundreds of thousands of dollars,
mm-hmm.
whose board chair I understand is a millionaire, and who is yapping and yiping about spending essentially $96,000 at the most a year for an open air shelter that gives the most cost effective shelter that I've ever heard of.
Well,
less than $1 a day per person.
Yeah, he's still.
So what did the board have to say about this? It's very nice for them to bounce the ball back to city council, and then the city council says, "Oh, we can't help it. It's the citizens committee and it's private property decisions." But what did the board of the citizens committee for the homeless, whose responsibility is the homeless, have to say about its responsibility to deal with the people that it's ousting? Did it have anything to say?
Well, I think they kind of skirted around the fact that had evicted 175 homeless people.
They like to skirt around it. They've been skirting around that issue for the last five meetings. And it shows how hollow, utterly hollow, that group is. If they cannot grapple with the reality that they are creating, then how can they, then what is the point of any conversations whatsoever there? I mean, I guess I'm, maybe you can enlighten me as to the great, the underlying agenda that will no doubt make all this clear to me from...
Well, Robert, I point out that they may seem to be spending money left and right willy-nilly, but when it came down to actually getting a temporary restraining order against you, they balked at the $180 fee when...
That's true.
Oh.
When it comes to me, they're very cost-conscious.
Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't mind calling...
We're going to get a TRO, but...
Let me tell our audience exactly what happened on this situation, because from my perspective, I went there yesterday. I guess Dan Hopkins was also with me, and Dan is in the studio. And hi there, Dan.
Hey. Hey, how are you today?
Dan is a camper from the River Street Refugees.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, how are you doing?
And he says hello to you, Becky.
Uh-huh.
He was one of the campers who was at the Coral Street Open Air Shelter and was thrown off the property and then deported out to New Brighton Beach and is now kind of temporarily roosting at Sunset Beach. They can only stay at beaches, of course, 2 weeks at a time. He came to this meeting because he is one of the few campers who wants to really actively confront the Citizens Committee with what he feels are its injustices. Is that accurate, Dan?
Listen, could you ask that question?